This is Radio Superior 1945, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1945. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes, station KUWS. Jack McKenna reminding you, a careless word could mean a needless loss. It's 6 o'clock Central Standard Wartime, Tuesday, August 14th, 1945. Lou Martin is in with the 6 o'clock news. Rapid Ray has the sporting news, and we'll have music from the hit parade. Let me tell you, folks, the only parade in town is right here on the radio. It's a quiet August evening. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Great Northern Railway, transporting men and equipment for the war. Our job is not over at Great Northern. Good evening, Lou. I said, good evening, Lou. Huh. It appears Louis is missing. Hey, Lou! Oh, Louis! Sheesh, folks, he's never done this before. I know he likes his naps, but not usually at 6 o'clock.
I'm here.
You don't look like you've been napping.
I haven't been napping, but I've got incredible news.
Well, it's not like you to brag, either. How indelicate.
I mean, the war is over. This just in from the United Press. Flash, President Truman announced at 6 o'clock Central Wartime this evening, just 3 minutes ago, that the Japs give up. We hope to have the announcement shortly.
7 p.m. Eastern Wartime, Bob Trout reporting. The Japanese have accepted our terms fully. That's the word we've just received from the White House in Washington. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the end of the Second World War. The United Nations, on land, on the sea, in the air, and to the four corners of the earth, are united and are victorious. We got that information on a special line from the White House, and now it's beginning to come in on the wire services, too. President Truman announced it at 7 p.m. tonight, just a minute ago, and now a flash, MacArthur appointed Jap boss over the Emperor of Japan.
Our Washington correspondent, John Hightower, is standing by. Let's now go to the nation's capital.
This is Washington, Hightower reporting. The world has entered a new era of peace this evening. Along the enormous battlefronts of the Pacific and Asia, the mightiest forces of destruction ever assembled rolled to a victorious halt around the prostrate, vanquished Empire of Japan. Throughout the Allied world, racked by war or threat of war since 1939, it is a time for rejoicing and celebration. Mr. Truman announced the capitulation just minutes ago at 7 o'clock Eastern Wartime. The act marked the beginning of a truce that will last a few days until General of the Army Douglas MacArthur can accept formal Japanese surrender on the basis of the Potsdam Declaration. While promising the Japanese people free and decent lives, this declaration lays down a hard future for them. It is much like that imposed on Germany, except that the Japanese will have their own national government, including an emperor under rigid Allied control. All means to make war are to be stripped from them. U.S. military government officers stand ready to move in with occupation forces and carry out these terms. Mr. Truman, a man of few words, made the surrender announcement at a two-minute news conference. He released the text of the acceptance note which the Japanese government sent to Washington through Sweden. There were no conditions, although the foe sought to win guarantees that the emperor would remain ruler. General MacArthur will be the supreme Allied commander representing the United States, Russia, Britain, and China. General MacArthur has ordered Allied forces to suspend offensive actions. In Washington, this is John Hightower. Come in, Guam. Come in, Carl Cramner.
This is Pacific Headquarters in Guam. Carl Cramner reporting. The second great world war of the century has ended with the utter defeat of Japan, last of the Axis powers which conspired to divide the world into three vast spheres of cruelty and barbarism. Peace has come after nearly 14 years of continuous war in Manchuria, Ethiopia, China, Europe, Africa, Asia, and the islands of the Pacific. The chief instigators of this enormous conflict, in which 23 million soldiers were killed or wounded in combat, not counting the millions of civilians killed by starvation, air raids, disease, and other causes, have been silenced. Choosing to lead its people into what amounted to national suicide, Japan's military clique has been smashed. The legend of the divinity of the emperor has been swept away in the first major defeat of her 2,605 years of history. Hitler has disappeared in the veritable Götterdämmerung that extinguished Germany as a unified nation. Mussolini lived by violence and died that way. The boast of Admiral Osoroku Yamamoto that he would dictate terms in the White House of the Greater East Asia Prosperity Sphere stands today as an empty vanity. The chain of aggression began in Manchuria, September 18, 1931, and reached its zenith in 1942 when Japan's reign reached 6,000 miles either way, from the Aleutians to Java, from Manchuria to Burma to the mid-Pacific, enslaving a population of nearly half a billion people. But new epics of American heroism have been written in this tragic book. The Death March of Bataan, the cockiness of Chenault's Flying Tigers, Doolittle's unheard-of stunt, flying bombers off the carrier Hornet to Tokyo in 1942. There was the resourcefulness of Buckley's PT boat crews and fortitude of the Marines in malaria-plagued New Guinea. The modern American soldier faced this with a cocky, slangy, humorous, brave ingenuity. To Tojo's great surprise, America had not grown soft. At Pacific Headquarters in Guam, this is Carl C. Cranmer.
KUWS Radio News Time is 6:06. Jack McKenna has these words from our sponsor.
I don't know what to do, Lou. Should we celebrate? Pray? How about a good old-fashioned Yahoo?
I haven't Yahooed in years.
Yeah, that's what Harriet says, too.
Do your commercial.
The Great Northern Railway, Lou, has been saying right along that when the war is over, our job isn't over. Slamming home the victory punch in the Pacific took manpower. Plenty of the best in the world. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you about manpower, folks. The end of the war does not mean that the railroad transportation problem is over. Far from it. And one of the greatest factors in that problem is sufficient manpower to operate the railroads in the demobilization days ahead. America's railways, particularly Western lines, must have thousands of additional workers if the military transportation schedules are to be met. The Army and other government manpower agencies urge those who are not presently employed in war industries or in the production of food and other necessities, get a railroad job now. Great Northern Railway. Our job is only partly done.
The son of a South Range couple has been awarded the Bronze Star Medal. Sergeant Wayne Ross was given the Bronze Star during an operation in Germany last February. Sergeant Ross is now with General Patton's Occupational Force in Czechoslovakia. He enlisted in 1942 at the age of 17 and was sent overseas 1 year ago. 12 Wisconsin men have been awarded the nation's highest medal during World War II. John Powell has some of their stories from Madison.
Between the Sunday morning of the strike at Pearl Harbor and the day the shattered Japanese Empire laid down its weapons, 12 Wisconsin men have joined the super warriors who won their country's highest military honor. 10 of the 12 men died during or after the deeds which won them the Congressional Medal of Honor. Wisconsin's 12 puts the state in the vanguard of the Union as a home for Medal of Honor men. Only one resident won the accolade during the First World War, Private Clayton Slack of Shell Lake, who was cited for a one-man charge of a German position on October 8, 1918. Among them are General Douglas MacArthur, the fourth man to be awarded the Medal of Honor in World War II for his unsuccessful but valiant effort to defend the Philippine Islands. 24-year-old Major Richard Ira Bong of Poplar was sighted in December of 1944 during his third tour of duty in the Southwest Pacific as America's Ace of Aces. Bong died August 6th in Burbank, California, testing a jet fighter plane. Master Sergeant Elmer Burr of Menasha was killed while he muffled a hand grenade to save the lives of his commanding officers and other comrades. Sergeant Kenneth Grenert of Helenville helped clear the Red Arrow Division's way to the sea at Buna. Grievously wounded, he continued a one-man assault of Jap positions. Major Jack Gerstad of Racine, operations officer of a combat wing in the Mediterranean Theater, helped plan the first great raid on the Ploiesti oil fields in Romania, then volunteered to lead it. He was lost over the target. An Army cook, Corporal Eric Gibson of Rice Lake, carried out a spectacular fight to take the top spot at the Anzio beachhead. Corporal Gibson single-handedly charged and captured four German machine gun positions on that Italian beach. He captured two Germans, killed five, and died in a hand-to-hand encounter that left his opponent dead as well. In Madison, this is John Powell reporting.
A street in the 3rd Marine Division training base has been named after a butternut boy, according to a Marine Corps dispatch from somewhere in the Pacific. Buddies of Clifford Swanson paid tribute to him by naming the lane Swanson Street. The Silver Star was awarded to him, posthumously, for heroism at Bougainville, under attack while laying telephone wires at Augusta Bay on November the 23rd, 1943. Corporal Swanson was killed by a Japanese shell. And at home, the Tri-State Fair in South Superior will get underway tomorrow. Midway rides and shows and Hoagland's Hippodrome and Circus will be the grandstand show. Large crowds are expected, Jack.
KUWS newsman Lou Martin and his news Hippodrome.
That doesn't make sense.
Say, Lou, you think people will be somber? You think people will be somber tonight like they were on VE Day?
Yahoo!
Probably not too somber.
Good guess. Now the forecast for this Tuesday, August 14th, 1945. Fair skies tonight with a low of 48 degrees. Sunny tomorrow and a high of 75 degrees here at the head of the lakes. Let's join in the celebration, friends. Here's Spike Jones and his city slickers. I thought they were out in the hall. With cocktails for two on the Martin McKenna Show, We Won the War Show.
We won the war.
Oh, what delight to be given the right to be carefree and gay once again. No longer slinking, respectively drinking like civilized ladies and men.
No longer need we miss a charming scene like this in some secluded rendezvous that overlooks the avenue. With someone sharing a delight, chat, this and that, with cocktails for two, as we enjoy a cigarette, to some exquisite chansonnette, two hands are sure to slyly meet beneath a serviette, with cocktails for two. My head may go really, but my heart will be obedient, with intoxicating kisses for the prince. Most steady afternoon at 5. We'll be so glad we're both alive. Then maybe fortune will complete the plan that all began with cocktails for two. any afternoon at five. We'll be so glad we're both alive. Then maybe fortune will complete her plan that all began with cocktails for two.
Yeah! Ah, whoa! Hey, ba-ba-ba-boom! Hey! Boy, this is fun, eh? Hey, gang. Whoa, boy. We won the war. Take that, Tojo. As you can hear, the celebration is well underway.
I'd like to welcome two young musicians to our studio. If you would introduce yourself, please.
My name is Bernie Rockinen with the Poplar 4-H on the accordion. My buddy, Buddy Budnick with the Superior 4-H, he's strumming the guitar.
You can call me Buddy.
Yeah, and we've got a bunch of other fellas and gals, and we're just having the best time. You should see it out there. People standing on top of their cars, horns blowing, everyone's honking their horn. Almost drowns out my accordion.
Some would say that that's a good thing.
Not a chance.
Everybody's having fun but us. I want to go outside, Lou.
Kenny? Can Jack come out and play?
Kenny?
You can join the kids later, Jack.
You guys wouldn't mind sticking around, would you? We've got some coffee in the other room.
You don't offer teenage boys coffee.
Beer?
Try lemonade. We've got some of that.
Oh, I like the other two choices better.
What kind of 4-H kids are you?
On with the good time music, friends, to celebrate the surrender of Japan.
No more songs about cocktails or that sort.
Jeepers creepers, Lewis. Let's enjoy the music of Ethel Waters on the Martin and McKenna Victory Show.
What the weatherman says, when the weatherman says it's raining, you'll never hear me complaining. I'm certain the sun will shine. I don't care how the weather van points, when the weather van points to gloomy, it's gotta be sunny to me when your eyes look into mine. Jeepers creepers, where'd you get those peepers? Jeepers creepers, where'd you get those eyes? Gosh, all get up, how'd you get so lit up? Gosh, all get up, how they hypnotize? Golly gee, when you turn those heaters on, woe is me, got to put my cheaters on. Jeepers creepers, where'd you get those peepers? Oh, those weepers, how they hypnotize. Where did you get those eyes? Where did you get those eyes?
creepers with your big black eyes.
Oh, yeah. Ethel Waters and Jeepers Creepers on station KUWS. Hiya, Ray. What a night, eh, pal?
Boy, I'll tell you, it's crazy out there now. I was on Tower Avenue a few minutes ago. It's one big parade. The Evening Telegram has a one-page extra out already. The headline says, "It's over."
I suppose the suds are flowing tonight, too.
Nope. Soon as the word came of the surrender, the taverns and restaurants closed their doors, locked them up tight. It's pure, unadulterated joy out there tonight. I've never seen or heard anything like it. Some people are laughing, and some folks are crying. But everyone's out tonight. I got a little sports here, Jake, but then, hey, I'm going to join in on the fun.
All right, then. Go ahead.
Well, you know I can't start without you.
Oh, sorry, pal. Here's Rapid Ray Paulson with the sports.
Thanks, Jake and fans. Minus last year's city golf champ Mel Adolphson, the 1945 Superior City Lynx Tournament gets underway Sunday with an 18-hole qualifying round at the Magic Golf Course. Yes, I'm afraid old Mel is in the service of Uncle Sam this year. He can't make it. Last year's field was only 30 guys, and this year might be fewer than that. So anyone who can hoist a golf club, come on over to Nemadji and join former winners Ray Belisle, Goodwin Nelson, Ed Jones, and Royal Larson. Chicago's National League leading Cubs may be celebrating with everyone else tonight, but today they took it on the chin against the Phillies of Philadelphia as Andy Semenik hit a fifth-inning home run to beat the Cubs 2-1. The second-place Cards of St. Louis beat the Bums of Brooklyn by the same score to pull a game closer to the Cubs. And rookie Sal Magley, just called up from Jersey City to New York, pitched the Giants to a 5-3 victory over the hapless Cincinnati Reds, who've lost 11 straight. But you know what? Who cares? The Japs have surrendered!
Woo!
Oh, boy! This is Rapid Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves a good sport, and I'm joining the fun. See ya, Jake!
No fair. We're missing out, Lou.
Like I say, this is one party that won't break up anytime soon.
On with the music, friends. Here's a guy with some personality. This is Johnny Mercer on the Martin and McKenna Victory Show.
When Madame Pompadour was on a ballroom floor, said all the gentlemen, obviously, the madam has the cutest personality. And think of all the books about Du Barry's looks. What was it made of? The toast of Paris. She had a well-developed personality.
What did Romeo see in Juliet, or Pierrot in Pierrette, or Jupiter in Juno?
You know. And when Salome danced and had the boys in trance, no doubt it must have been easy to see that she knew how to use her personality.
Well, and never sit on a boss's settee unless she's got a perfect personality. A girl can get somewhere in spite of stringy hair or even just a bit bowed at the knees if she can show a faultless personality.
Why are certain girls offered certain things, like sable coats and wedding rings, by men who wear their spats right
say I'm smart and have the kindest heart. Oh, what a wonderful sister I'd be.
Just tell me how you like my
rough personality.
Baby, you've got the cutest
personality.
Johnny Mercer and Personality on Station KUWS.
It's my pleasure to welcome Bishop William O'Connor.
Oh, please, call me Father Bill.
And Douglas County Draft Board Chairman, Colonel Joe Raffaele.
Who's soon to be out of a job.
Oh, heavens to Betsy, I'm sure it's a job he'd like to relinquish, because it means we're at peace.
Well, not really your godliness. I kind of like drafting people. I'm not sure what I like better, grafting people or giving them the old 4F.
Ah, you're a twisted man, Colonel.
Oh, but the Colonel is kidding, of course. He has such a fine, fine sense of humor.
Well, I really don't like laughing.
Unless something bad happens to someone else.
You know, McCorkle, I'll have the last laugh on you yet.
As I like to say, he who laughs last is slow to catch on.
Hey, look, Bob, I...
Not to change the subject or anything relevant to anything, but Bishop O'Connor, how are you going to celebrate tonight's announcement?
Well, with fervent thanks to God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, for deliverance from the godless foes of democracy. That's how. And I'm not alone. Once the announcement was made, and I heard you give it myself, my son, people began streaming into our Cathedral of Christ the King.
Good God-fearing people here in Superior.
Well, yes, God-fearing, but also a merciful deity, too, Colonel.
Well, kind of prefer the fear part, you know. Fear works much better at keeping people in line. There's entirely too much... There's too much mercy out there.
Well, we must keep in mind the great losses many of our neighbors have suffered of fathers and sons, husbands and brothers, lost in battle. That is true, but it's also good to celebrate together as we have sacrificed together. God likes a good party, too, you know.
I don't remember that one during catechism, Father.
The youth don't need my encouragement to have fun. One more thing. My good friend Rabbi Alex Hyatt at Agudas Sakim Temple at Hammond Avenue and 6th Street says they'll have a special service tomorrow at 8 p.m.
You know, Padre, you're plugging the competition.
We're all in God's business together. Good night, and God bless America.
The Right Reverend Bishop William O'Connor.
We can't have a proper celebration without the late, great Glenn Miller and his orchestra. Here's a big number from the early war years, Pennsylvania 6-5000, on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Thank you. Pennsylvania 65000.
Miller and his orchestra with Pennsylvania 65000.
All right, let's get this straight.
I want to be boy, girl. Don't go stepping on nobody's field.
Now what's going on, Lou?
That's building custodian Axel Fennell.
And keep your hands on the person in front of you, on their waist only. I don't want any funny business.
I think he's organizing a conga line, Lou.
But Axel can't dance.
He can when he's had some of his special elixir.
All right, let's go. Hit it, maestro.
Oh, that's Maestro Bernie, if you please.
All right.
There's Rapid Ray right smack dab in the middle, folks. Nice looking gal he's behind, too. Some guys have all the luck.
Hey, my name is Rapid Ray. You sure have a nice waist.
It's a good thing the colonel and the bishop aren't here.
They're right there, in the conga line.
Oh, Ethel McGraw, I haven't had this much fun since 1918 in Paris when we beat the Kaiser's bonus.
Now, Lou, now we can play.
Now we can play.
All right. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, the good Lord willing, and we survive this conga line. For Lou Martin, and this is Jack McKenna reminding you that war bonds mean freedom.
Hey, this Maestro Bernie's good. Whoa, hey, who's touching my waist? Knock it off.
Sorry, Colonel. After you, Lou.
I'm not going to put my hands there.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1945, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Tonight's performances by Stan Turner, Tom Martinson as Draft Board Chairman Raffaele and Father Bill, Ray Paulson and Jim Ofstoon. Thanks to our special musical guests from the Harrington Arts Center, Helmy Harrington on the accordion and Sue Spencer on the guitar. All events reported on Radio Superior 1945 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.